From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls. You should have been in the office with me. It's been hysterical. This is the alternative news programme from Radio Tatras International. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains in the gorgeous, gorgeous town with all of its Christmas lights on of Poprad. Snow on the mountains. We had several inches of snow yesterday for our American listeners at Talk Radio X. And must say hi to the people at Replay Radio, as well as on Audio Boo, and you lovely folks on RTI as well. Joining us, as always, the three musketeers are me, and in the UK, whinging about some stupid temperature of about 15, is Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody, and I'm whinging about everything, actually. I'm whinging about the council, I'm whinging about the power people, I'm whinging about the weather, I'm whinging about everything. And also, I'm just having a whinge.
Typical Britishman. Absolutely normal.
Whinging poms. I am a whinging
positively pom. Negative. In Paris, who's whinging about Paris? Talking of Paris, we've got a little story about dogs and poo today, which I think is apt for Paris. It's Mark Gander.
Yeah, hello there. Well, I'm... Hi there, from the poo capital of the world. It's actually quite warm today.
If it was a horse, it'd be Winnie the Pooh.
No. Anyway, we'll crank straight on with it, boys and girls, because we have got so much to get through to you this week. And I do have a little apology. If anybody's been trying to email us, our email server died yesterday. It's gone to that place in the sky where email servers go.
But is it along with mine?
I think it is. Yeah. But we've got a new one now, so you can email us again or get in touch by or via Facebook on the page called Radio, because that's us. Cranking straight into it. The Mukosi treatment fails to stop the bulldog, meaning the German leader and the French leader didn't get Mr Cameron to agree to everything. Attempts to get all 27 EU states to back changes to a treaty failed dismally. And speaking after the event, David Cameron said he could not accept a new treaty without certain safeguards. He added, "We wish them," that's the Eurostates, "well, because we want everyone to sort out their problems, because we all need that to get economic growth. Trouble is, it leaves England out in the cold with a couple of friends, one being Hungary next door to me, the Czech Republic next door to me, and Sweden. Sweden and the Czech Republic are not decided and will go back to their own parliaments to find out. Where does it leave us?
Well, I think it's fair to say that Britain is actually now Camerooned. We are completely marooned by ourselves. What a strange chappy. In basic terms, I agree with him that Britain should keep its own identity and that we need to protect our own economy. The problem is, look at the state of the economy that we are trying to protect.
Right.
I mean, the heading, I have to say, the heading has been, or you announced it, is that the Mukosi treatment fails to stop the bulldog. I have to say, from my reading yesterday, it's more like the bulldog failed to stop Mukosi, because they've gone on their own. They're putting together their party of 17, and I suppose that there would be some disadvantage, and I'm just wondering whether Cameron in some way overplayed his hand. You know, there we are. We'll see. Of course, the most important thing is that they do sort out this euro crisis, I suppose.
Well, yeah, because obviously the UK is trading with the eurozone, so it needs to get that sorted out. Yes. But it takes me right the way back to when I was a wee lad, and there was a thing called...
Long time ago, then.
Thank you.
Yeah. Pounds, shillings and pence.
Yes, there was. And there was an organisation called EFTA. Do you remember that?
EFTA? Is that from that village in Northern Ireland?
No. You remember it, Mark?
Yes, the European Free Trade Association.
No, you don't.
Thank
Mark.
You, Mark.
Let's be honest.
Yeah,
you do not.
Switzerland was, and I think, still a member, isn't it? Because Switzerland's not part of... And who else is still a member?
Lots.
But anyway, sorry.
Lots are. And the European Free Trade Association was a non-political outfit, which allowed...
Oh, the Free Trade Association. If you'd have said that, I'd have agreed. I know that. EFTA.
It's called EFTA.
EFTA, my...
It's called EFTA. And EFTA is exactly what it should be, in that there should be free movement of goods, free movement for people to go work in different places, all that sort of thing, sorted out dead simply without all the politics and without all the money being spent on the EU. Because it just would work. And I just can't get my head around the whole empire building, because that's what it is, the whole empire building of certain organisations and groups who are trying to control everybody else. It's not America, for God's sake. Europe
is now.
It's nowhere near like America, and that's what people are trying to create, you know, a unified state. They can't even do it in America. They have federal laws, state laws. It's how it works. So they can't...
I have to say, I'm just wondering whether there isn't some ancient tradition that's being played out here, because at the risk of offending people, we seem to have the territorialism, or I won't say, I don't want to say of Hitler, really, but the territorial aspirations of Germany at the earlier part of the last century against the Napoleonic French territorial aspirations of that particular period. And once again, Britain seems to be on the outside. Mm. And I have to say that this sort of empire building that you're saying, it sounds absolutely right, really. And I'm just wondering at the end of the day, who's going to agree to be the emperor, Sarkozy or Merkel? I've got a feeling that Sarkozy is really up for it.
The thing is, though, we are right on the outside, like you say. Yeah, Cameron, who's done this, and in a way, I respect his decision. But you also have to remember that while he said we're on the outside, we are Camerooned, he's also saying, but we want to be in control as well. How can you leave something alone and still stay in control of it?
Well, what he was saying last night is the original EU treaty stands, and the 17 Eurozone states are going to make one within that. Therefore, the European Court, the EU, the whole gambit as it is now stays as it is, and this is a sort of second tier off of it. So ultimately, it all still has to go through the main core of the EU, and the 17 Eurozones can do their own thing and it doesn't matter.
I think you're right. I think there's one thing that everybody's missed on this, though, and the one thing that Cameron's done by sticking two fingers up at the EU, he has completely ruined our chances in the next Eurovision Song Contest.
Well, that's true as well.
Blimey, yeah.
Where is the next one being held?
I don't know. Where is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, breaking news on the bankers, sorry.
Go on.
Bankers have an 86... hang on, let me start again. Bankers have an 86% higher chance of heart attacks and strokes than any other profession. Well, that's a banking bonus, isn't it? Well,
stop making me cough, you swine.
Well, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, although that's very sad news for them, I imagine there'll be a lot of people who aren't particularly sad about it at all.
Right,
what a shame to have alienated the population so badly that people actually prefer if you die than if you live.
Indeed.
I think that's true. And I tell you what, if this global crisis continues, by the end of this year, there'll only be two banks left operational. That's the blood bank and the sperm bank.
Move to Belgium.
Which one do you want to contribute to?
Let's move to Belgium. Apparently, there's a bit of a spat going on in Belgium with the Belgian police and the British immigration officers.
This is so funny, isn't it?
This is weird. That we were talking about before we came on air. And... Mark, go on, you tell us the core of the story.
He's dropped you right in it with that, Alibar.
Well, it's quite amazing, isn't it? I mean, apparently, British border officials who are in Belgium, I suppose, at the Eurostar terminal, and they're checking the passports of people who want to travel to the United Kingdom, when they've disbelieved that people want to go to the United Kingdom because the people are saying simply, no, I don't want to go to England, I just want to go to France, and they're allowed to do that without a passport, that sometimes the border official will be saying, well, actually, we don't believe you, we're going to prevent you getting on the train. And regardless of the truth of the matter, apparently the Belgian police have come along and said, if you interfere with these people getting on the train, we will arrest you. This is British officials who are appointed to be there, who are really just trying to do their jobs, are being threatened with arrest by Belgian officials. It's quite amazing.
Well, yeah, but hang on a minute. Yeah, but they're in Belgium.
So they've got no jurisdiction.
No.
Well, they've been given a jurisdiction. They've been allowed to sit there in uniform. So they've been allowed to check the passport.
Yes. Yes, but they don't drive on the opposite side of the road when they're in Belgium, because England does it.
No, that's absolutely right. But I mean, in every way, as far as I know, that you know, they're just doing their jobs, and it's been agreed. And the fact that you need a passport to get in the United Kingdom has been recognised by Belgian authorities. But we suddenly get some very uppity policemen, who, I mean, it would be interesting to know really whether these people are simply on a mission. And have got something against these British officials, or they're really wielding their power correctly. It sounds like they're going over the top.
I can help you here because I've experienced this, not just when the Queen came here, but when there's been other significant groups coming here, even like Leeds United Football Club, for example. Now, when they came over, there was a lot of contact between the British police and the Slovak police. And when the Queen came, it was very clear to see there was some people from good old Blighty, along with the Queen, who weren't diplomats, but they had no jurisdiction. They were here as guests. I know for a fact that when Leeds were here, for example, the Slovak police and the British police got on really well. There was no trouble, nothing went wrong, because they were talking to each other. But the police were only guests. They couldn't nick me for speeding because they were here. They were here as guests. And whichever way you go, Belgium's not going to give up its sovereign right to a bunch of guys who are assisting them with getting it right with people who want to go to wherever they want to travel to.
Well, I mean, you say that, but we give up our sovereign rights. I'm talking about United Kingdom, because at King's Cross, what have we got sitting along in a load of booths who never smile at anybody, incidentally, and barely look you in the face when you hand them their passport? We've got French police. Not only have we got French police, they're carrying guns. I'd like to know what their rules of engagement are.
Well, they could. They don't forget that they could be authorised to do that, Mark, as other officials from secret service organisations around the world are given that approval.
Absolutely. And now, supposing that I don't satisfy their passport requirements, what are they going to do? Can they then stop me going in? And is a British policeman going to come along and arrest them?
To shoot you, simple.
They shoot me.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's simple.
Oh, that's all right. That's very reasonable. There's
not a problem immediately.
Just get the guillotine out. Off with his head.
I don't understand. If these police are allowed to be in that country, I understand what Mark's saying, that they should be allowed to have power. But apparently they haven't, so why are they there? And what authority are they stopping people and saying, you're going to Britain, you're not going to Lille? What decision are they making like that? That's like the decision this stupid council around here are trying to make on my house. Turn it from a big detached into two semis. Ludicrous!
I knew he'd get that in somewhere. Let's move on, boys and girls, because we don't know the answer yet, but we will bring you the answer. That's the easy way around that. We've had a few well-known stars move away from the planet this week.
Oh, no.
Dobie Gray.
Do we remember Drift Away?
Well,
Dobie Gray's drifted away.
Yes. Away? I don't know. I can't remember it now. I did play it as a lad when I was in the clubs. But
1973. You weren't a lad in 1973.
I was a lad.
No, you weren't. You were 46.
Thank you. But I suppose very, very few others have heard of him. But Drift Away was recorded by other artists, including the legendary Rod Stewart.
And Michael Bolton.
Yes. The legendary Rod Stewart, as I said.
And Michael Bolton, like I said. Hey, all right.
All right. I'll get the Belgian police on you, mate, if you're not careful.
Yeah, well, I'll get the French to shoot you.
And one of the greatest TV series of all time, MASH. Colonel Sherman Potter, Harry Morgan.
The horse face man, if you remember him, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, he was, wasn't
very
he?
Very good looking chap, not being rude, but he did look like a horse.
Was he related to Harry Potter?
See, that's when you get a tumbleweed moment, when you make jokes like that.
Oh,
Mark.
Right, sorry.
And also, sadly, Barbara Orbison, the widow of Roy Orbison, has died aged 60.
She was only 60?
Yeah.
She was 60, how old was she when she married him?
She was his last wife, wasn't she? She was his last wife. I think she was very young when she married him. I think
23 years ago they got married.
Yeah, she was only young, 27, wasn't she?
Yeah.
The thing is, the Roy Orbison story, I don't know if everybody would agree to this, but I think Roy Orbison probably was one of the greatest singers of rock and ballad music ever to live. His voice had such incredible range, and it was so pure that and he had such a tragic life. Died at 52 after
his... Well, I will tell you one thing that he's managed to do, and that is he has gone across decades and decades of youth, and, you know, Pretty Woman still stacks up.
Absolutely she does, yes. Yeah. I think Wilburys with his royal bobness.
Well, that's true, the travelling
Wilburys. And he actually made a phenomenal comeback at the age of 52 when he died. And I just think it's sad that his wife has died so young as well, because his children died young. It's a real tragic rock and roll story. Yeah. All his family have died young. His first wife died in a motorcycle accident. Another of his wives died in a house fire. His children died in horrific circumstances. He died a young man, and now his ex-missus has died, or his... Well,
we wish the families left behind all the best, obviously, as we move on to Scotland, which has been battered by storms. So strong were the storms up there in Orkney that the BBC Radio Orkney radio station was off the air as its transmitter was damaged in the storm.
Amazing. Well, I was in Orkney over the summer, and what a wonderful place. But how flat and how little cover, and I can just imagine that if that gets a lashing from the storms, really, you've had it. There's nowhere to hide.
Absolutely no cover. And the amount of people without electricity, Scottish Energy and Scottish Hydro said on this morning, actually, that 70,000 customers were without electricity. There was all sorts of cars sliding off the road. And I have to say, looking at the pictures from Scotland and looking at the pictures here in Slovakia under the mountains yesterday, when we had the same terrible conditions of a very strong wind, and cars were literally, not through speed, they were just slipping off the edge of roads and they were stuck.
Yeah. That's because Slovaks can't drive.
Yeah. Are you going to tell Martina that?
I'll tell anybody. I'm a man. I have the French police behind me.
Yeah, well, we know all about that, don't we?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Can I just say one thing about this? And I mean, Scotland recently has been talking about, if they do manage to become independent from the rest of the United Kingdom, that they may then start making closer ties with Sweden. And it looks at the moment as if they may be blown that way anyway.
That was a bad joke. Four films with a Scottish accent.
Yes, and just a quickie on this one as well. Apparently, where Lee lives, the power company are just going to turn the electric off next week.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is an exclusive news story, right? This is an exclusive news story for us, and it's perfectly true. I've spoken to the people. Let me just tell you briefly what the story is,
right? You have to be brief, mate.
I'm going to be brief, right? Yesterday, a bloke came up my drive and said to me, hello, I'm from Western Power. We're turning your power off on the 15th of December for a day. I said, why? He says, for routine maintenance. I said, well, that's ridiculous. So to cut a long story short, it means that the people in the village, 16 houses in my village, including me, right? A lot of them are old age pensioners as well, not including me, right? Are going to have no heating, no lighting, no way to cook warm food, and no hot drinks. So what we suggested to Western Power is this, right? That they go to the truck stop, which is 1/4 mile down the road, twice a day, and go and get us all a cup of tea. It's only like 16 cups of tea. It'll cost them less than 20 quid twice a day just to bring them. Because their blokes will be going down there to get a drink anyway. Bring them up, give them to the people in the house. You know what? They said, not a chance. The actual quote is this, and I make no bones about this. Michael Clark from Western Power, who said it? If you're on an oxygen support machine, we'll lend you a generator. Otherwise, you'll have to put up with it.
Really?
Flipping egg.
Oh, very nice. Thank you, Western Power.
Good. Thank you, Western Power.
Yeah, thank you, Western Power. I'll let you know next
time. That's really good. That's really caring about your customers, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, well, you know what? I even suggested it. I said, listen, mate, if you do that, this is the truth. I'm not pulling any punches. He knows this is the truth. I said, so listen, mate, if you go down there, talk to Jacko, that's the truck stop bloke. I know he'll do it. He'll bring them up here. It'll cost you 20 quid. And you'll get loads and loads of positive publicity saying what a caring, sharing company you are. He said, no. He says, because if we do it for you, we'll have to do it for everybody else.
Can I ask you a question, Lee? Who are the alternative suppliers in that area? Let's give them a plug.
Well, Western Power actually are the ones, I think, who look after the power line. So there isn't one.
This is the national grid as used to be, Mark.
Yeah, well, that's
that case,
thing,
that
yeah.
explains it, doesn't it? No competition, no customer service.
Yeah, that's on the 15th of December in freezing cold on the run up the bleak Widminster. Widminster, it's in the bleak Widminster. We are going to be sitting here.
Can you not get hold of Age Concern or somebody?
I have been on to Age Concern, and Age Concern say that if this is maintenance that doesn't need carrying out at this stage, then certainly they should have moved it to a date where the weather was warmer. Even Age Concern can see the ludicrousness of this situation.
Ridiculous.
You know what? You know what Power Gen said to that?
No.
Not Power Gen, sorry, Western Power said.
Yeah.
This is a direct quote from him again.
Go on.
Right. Well, if we don't switch this the power off to carry out this routine maintenance, you might suffer a power cut in the winter. We're having a power cut because you're cutting us off, you knobs!
Sadly, news from Calcutta. As you know, everybody remembers Lee's been out there for a couple of months. 73 people died in a fire which broke out in the hospital in the eastern Indian city of Calcutta. Were you there, Lee? Is that where you were?
I didn't go to Calcutta. No, we got quite close. But the major problem with this, it's just an absolute tragedy anyway in any country. But it's one of those things, and I make no bones about this either, that health and safety is not something that is high on the agenda in India. And I'm sure that really this is a wake-up call for India to say, let's start looking at health and safety. Because in India at this moment, the weather is probably the equivalent to an average English summer. It's quite hot. But the people are quite rightly used to absolutely blistering heat. So now they're lighting fires inside tents where a lot of poor people live in tents. They're lighting fires by the side of the road. They're burning anything from plastic bottles to old tires to try and keep themselves warm. And in a country like that, you are bound to have some awful tragedies like this.
Indeed.
And it's time that India looked at health and safety properly.
Anyway, let's move on to the, well, there's one song from Adele that I can't stand, and I'm not even going to mention it. It's that ballady thing.
Bob Dylan song? Is Royal Bobness's song that she had a hit with? Is that the one you mean?
I'm not saying. Anyway.
Knocking on Heaven's Door?
No.
Or is it to make me feel your love?
I'm not going to do what everybody else does and promote things I don't like.
God, what is it you don't like?
Singing that ballad.
Which one?
I'm not telling you because I'll be promoting it.
Then nobody knows what you're talking about.
Yes, they do. They all know because it's played on every rotten radio station around the planet.
It's to make you feel my love.
Three times a day, if not more.
You've never felt my love three times a day.
No, thank God for that. Anyway, you can take the girl out of South London, but you can't take South London out of the girl. That's the devil. Because what's been leaked on a website is the riders. And these are the parts of the contract where megastars can decide what they have in their dressing rooms. I wonder what I'd have in my dressing room. Oh, I'd have to be a computer and a Wi-Fi.
I'll have the USB if she doesn't want.
Marmite sandwiches. Yeah, probably. Anyway, Adele says US beer is off the menu and free tickets are forbidden, according to Adele. Yeah, according to her, the tickets can go out, but there must be money donated to SANS, which is a UK charity that supports bereaved parents, which I think is rather nice. No freebies for everybody, which I think is absolutely...
I think that's right.
Yeah. So anyway...
Mind you, I'd never go anywhere if I didn't get freebies.
Well, I know you are like that.
Well, like what?
Freebies thing.
I'll tell you a true story about a freebie that I did.
Well, hang on a minute. We'll have to do this one carefully as well because there's European law in it. But apparently, Adele's...
Mark, you're talking rubbish, man.
I'm talking very, very serious here. Adele's tour manager includes a dressing room with heating and air conditioning to maintain an ambient temperature of 20 degrees C, a selection of fruit, but nothing, no citrus fruit.
Those are a helpers.
And six... cereal bars in individual wrappers. Adele also insists on having a packet of cigarettes. That's the European look.
Yeah, you just stopped off the dramatic effect there.
Yes, that's right. A light of 6 metal teaspoons and a range of chewing gum at every venue on her tour.
What else was she going to use the teaspoons for? Or shouldn't we ask?
I'm not saying a word.
No, it's funny, isn't it? It's funny that, isn't it? When you think what you could do with a teaspoon.
Well, anyway. But
I used to run a jazz club once, actually. I ran a couple of jazz clubs. One was at university. And we brought George Melly in a couple of times, actually. And I mean, crikey, the amount of booze we had to supply for them, absolutely quite amazing. And a whole bunch of
brandy. I went drinking with George Melly once. Phenomenal.
Yeah,
phenomenal. Beautiful man, and what a wonderful, wonderful band. And I don't know if it was
the Feet Warmers. Was it the Feet Warmers then?
Yes, it was the Feet Warmers. It was fantastic.
They
were
they're off again, boys and girls.
What a load of big drinking boys they were.
Is it true that after one bottle of whiskey, he walks around in a circle?
Who? George Melly?
Yeah.
Only if you don't.
Then once you've given him the second bottle of whiskey, he walks in a straight line.
Well, we were just students. We couldn't afford the second bottle.
Right.
But actually, I seem to remember that the bottle of spirits was actually for the piano player. And all the rest were on the beer. But they could put it away, but what amazingly good value for money.
You want to be careful, because the Fedge might come in and shoot the piano player.
Yeah.
What was the other guy's? Come on, guys, help me out. He did that programme on Radio 4, the BBC programme. Give Us a Clue, was it? Was it Give Us a Clue?
You're talking about Humph?
Yeah.
Humphrey Littleton.
Humphrey Littleton.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy, honestly, how terrible.
What a guy.
Who was that guy?
He was brilliant.
He was brilliant.
He was one of the funniest men ever.
He was
one of the funniest
genius.
Men ever.
Absolute genius.
And what was terrible about him then?
No, well, I didn't say it was terrible. I couldn't remember his name. That's terrible.
Terrible.
No. Anyway, very quickly as we get to the end of part one, the short story is there used to be the Bromley Jazz Festival once a year, and what you did is you bought tickets not knowing who the turn was.
Oh, see, Mark, we had to shut up so he could talk.
Excuse me. And we just went to the little tiny church hall. 100 people got in there. The curtain comes open. MC comes out and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, you're never going to believe the treat
I've
we've
lost
got for
the
you.
Hammer.
Stop it." And out watched
Hammer.
Humphrey Littleton. And I'll tell you what, he was absolute gem. When it got to sort of sign in, they were LPs in those days.
Yeah.
He was very warm. There was no sort of pressure. If people had bought their own ones in, he signed them equally to ones that people had bought. He was just, as a star, oh, man, he just had everybody eating out of his hand. He was an absolute star. Mm. Absolute star.
Yeah. Well, when I met His Royal Bobness.
Yeah. He ran down the road.
No, actually, the truth is that I did actually get the opportunity to meet His Royal Bobness, and I blagged my way into a party, the after-show party behind the stage.
Yeah.
It took me about 3/4 of an hour to convince them to let me in that I was a really important journalist and that Bob was waiting for me. And by the time I got in, he'd gone home.
Serves you right. That was part one of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls. We'll be back faster than you can make a milkshake, have a cup of tea, or even make yourself a chip butty. With Lee, myself, Eric, and Mark, we'll be back faster than
That's
you.
Four of us.
Is it?
Yeah, you, yourself, Lee, and Eric, and me.
Gosh.
That's fine.
Oh, right, so we slipped somebody else in on us now.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.